and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
Anytime you want miracles to be pursuing you, instead of you pursuing it, get marked by the anointing. Wherever the oil rests, that's where the heavens open. There are two seals that you need to know about. One is from the kingdom of God. A seal is a mark. Companies give it to their product. Okay, there is a seal here on these products showing that it's Shure Mic. I just turned to look. If not, I won't know. You will just be guessing. How will I know which company made this product? If they don't put a stamp, their stamp on it. You can see that one is Yamaha. The two keyboards. This looks like LG. BMW seal is like a W in a circle. Apart from writing their name, they can just use, this ministry has a seal. There are certain type of documents that when they are to be issued, they have to carry that seal or they are not authentic. The federal government of Nigeria has a seal. The signature of the president is not enough. That seal is very important, especially when you are doing very serious business with government, especially in international relations and all of that. If Nigeria is to do some transaction with Cameroon and we are to exchange documents, it must carry that seal. Companies have it. Governments have it. The kingdom of God has it. The image of God is a man. Man is made in the image of God. Man is the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image." So we are made in the image of God. But I want to take it further. We are not just made in the image of God. We are the image of God. When God finished creating man, he clothed him with his glory. The book of Psalms said, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. You have crowned him with glory and honor." There is a crown God gave man at creation. A crown of glory and honor. God did not create us for disgrace. He didn't create us to become failures. He created us for dignity. He created us to be expression of his glory. So when you see this product, you will marvel at the one that made it. You can imagine now if I come here now and this mic is cutting, it's not able to... You go this side, they cut. You move this side. Who will want to buy another of Shure product? If their products are like that. You want something that works. Because you are carrying God's glory, God cares about how things go with your life. When I gave my life newly and I was the only one born again, saved in my family. And I learned that secret. It became a bargaining power with God. I said, "Lord, I'm the one that is saved in this family. The others have not come to Christ yet." That means how my life turns out affect these other ones. am now the mirror, the glass through which they look at Christianity. On one side, it means that I have to live right. Because my character, if I'm misbehaving, they will say, this is how church people are. Take note of that, because that's why your personal testimony, your Christian character matters. You are supposed to be reflecting God's character. I said, Lord, but that's why I have to be prosperous. I have to be successful. Starting with my academics, I was a student then, down to every other thing I would do. I said, I'm not just asking you to bless me so that I'll be blessed. I'm asking you to bless me because I carry your name. Your name is at stake. If this mic is not working, it's sure. It's affecting the image, the integrity of the company. God not only made you in his image, he made you his image. So you are the marketing arm of the kingdom. You are the advertising arm. You are the one the public will see and more people will come to God. So it's very important how you are branded, how you are perceived, how you carry yourself. It's very important how you live. Amazingly too, do you know that in Dominion City, you're also the image of Dominion City? You're not just an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you're also an ambassador for Dominion City. The ambassador of Nigeria in US is the face of Nigeria. If he gets involved in drug business, as far as US government is concerned, Nigerian government is into drug business. You are not just made in the image of God, you are the image of God. That means God wants people to see him in you. You are the image, the TV through which people see God. You are the binoculars through which people see God. You see why God wants to glorify himself in your life. Why he wants to remove every blemish for your life. That's why he wants you to be prosperous. That's why he wants you to be successful. That's why he doesn't want you to be a failure. He did not create anything to be a failure. No company makes a product to fail. Now, it's not only that God made us in his image, he crowned us with glory and honor. He put his glory on our lives. Man was born from day one to rule and to reign. It was a ruling power on the earth. Actually, if you want to use the word that the scripture will allude to it, man was put here as the God of this world, the reflection of the Almighty God on earth. It was that position that he had that the devil was jealous of. And he looked for a way to remove him from that position. And the only way he could do it was to get him to quarrel with God. To break relationship with God. To rebel against God. Just like he rebelled and was thrown out from heaven. He got Adam to rebel, to follow in his own footsteps, and he lost his place of honor. This same problem is the reason God sent a second Adam. To come and restore what we lost. Restore man to his lost glory. If you are saved, if you have received recreation of your human spirit and the remission of your sin, if you have received Christ, you are a new creation man. You are now made in the image of the second Adam. You are the glory of God, and you are the image of God. The fallen man is a damaged product. But he needs salvation. He needs to be redeemed. The price has been paid. All he needs to do is
take his life to the mechanic workshop and said, I had an accident. I have accepted. Fix me, Lord. They have gone to mechanic, paid for all the new parts, paid for your refurbishing. All you have to do is accept to be worked on. Accept Christ. Accept salvation. Agree to say, to repent for your sins. You are not created to be battered. You are not created to be a failure. You are not created to be lost. God created you to be the beloved. God created you to be highly favored. God created you to carry his glory and his honor. You were actually born into a royal family. You will come back here. This verse is very important. But take me back to Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. This is Dominion Summit. So there are some things I'm going to share with you this morning about this issue called dominion. It is the universal human God-given right to every man. Universal human right. Nobody is born to be a failure. You are born to rule. No, but this is the original purpose for creating man. It's called the creation mandate. Not for the animals, not for the plants, for man. You're created to be in God's image and to function like God. And to rule over every other thing in creation. To have dominion. You are created to be in charge. There's no man created to be tormented by demons. There's no man created to be destroyed by sickness. There's no man God created to be poor. That's why you see United Nations declaring war. When you look at the 8 elements of the MDG, the Millennium Development Goals. You see that one of them is war has been declared on poverty. Poverty. Even that world agency knows that poverty is evil. How dare you sit in church and you are the one that defends poverty? When they want to address it, you rise in your spirit. Don't talk about money here. But 6 days of your life every week, you are working for money. The same way, sickness, one of the elements in Millennium Development Goal is also includes sickness, malaria and all these other, HIV and the rest of them. It's one of the evils that came with the fall of man. There are two principal evils that came here with the fall of man. All of them are the things we should declare war on in our dominion mandate. Originally, our dominion mandate was just to govern the earth and then to keep the devil under subjection. Before man fell, God informed Adam that there was a fallen being on earth. There was war in heaven. Satan was kicked out of heaven and he fell into the earth. And God wanted to teach principalities and powers his manifold wisdom. He didn't want to be seen fighting with his own servant. He didn't want to be seen fighting with somebody he created. There are three people you don't fight. You don't fight your source, like your father, like your pastor, like your God, anybody that begat you. If you are carrying an anointing, somebody begat that anointing. If you are carrying a ministry, somebody gave birth to that ministry you. If you are carrying anything, there is a source of that. Never fight your source. You will cut off your root and you wither away. You never fight your own father and mother, for example. You never fight your spiritual father and mother. You never fight your God because he gave you even the breath that you're breathing. You never fight your source. You never bite the hand that fed you. The second group of people you don't fight is somebody you trained or somebody you made or somebody you parented You don't fight your son. You don't do that. You're fighting your own future. Now, if you fight your source, that's what father means. Father means source and sustenance. Everyone say that word. The Hebrew word is pater. The Greek word is Abba. When you hear the Bible say, we call him Abba, father. It's just father, father. That's what that word means. So Greek calls father Abba. Hebrews call father pater. You know what it means? Source and sustainer. So they carried you 9 months in the womb. You came out. You didn't fall from a tree. You didn't fall from heaven. I know it's God that created you, but he used an agency to bring you here. Now, while you are in the womb, your mom is not just a source. Actually, the dad is the source. That's the carrier of the gene. But the mom is also, the two of them gave birth to you. That's why he said, honor your father and mother. Okay. You notice that while you are in the womb, like a branch of a tree, there is an umbilical cord through which you get sustenance. You don't breathe with your nostrils. You breathe with your mother's nostrils. You don't eat with your mouth. You eat with your mother's mouth. So she gets all the stuff, and through the umbilical cord, it gets to you. Now, after a child is born, they cut off the umbilical, but the emotional umbilical cord and the spiritual remains. You live in their house for 20-something years. Finally, it's time to leave home. And you know, when a tree bears fruit, it's a time that fruit will have to and fall on the ground and grow new trees. So a baby one day will become a mother. And then you reap exactly what you sowed. You're somebody, you're a trinity. You're somebody's, let me find the one that is married, like me. I'm somebody's son, but I'm somebody's father. And I'm somebody's husband. That's the third person you don't fight. Don't fight a person that you are in covenant with, starting with your wife, starting with the brethren, anybody you take communion with, never go behind that person to fight that person. You will end up destroying yourself. You know, I was in Accra and they showed me a tape of a lady. I even heard that the tape is being sold in Lagos, that's attacking the same ministry that she got born again in, raised her, and did all that. And it's very simple for one reason. Anytime you see such a thing, check the name. It's only an Igbo man that can do it. Money. And she was giving the reason, container. She had container somewhere near the church. The pastor asked local government or Lagos State government to remove container. And you went to make video, to go on air. When last did you make a video on soul winning? When last did you make a video on heaven and hell to warn people about it? When last did you make a video to advertise your church? When last did you make a video? You went to make a video too. She's trying to convince the public that her pastor is evil. The man she's talking about is a man of God. She is offended at something. And she wants to go and fight the same hand that beat her. She will perish without remedy. Unless something goes, and God can't forgive such a thing. No, it's only that same man that can forgive her. God cannot forgive it. That's why Judas is in hell. He betrayed the same man. It's a terrible. It's only the Igbos that do that. It's a terrible thing. It's only the Igbos that do that. It's a terrible thing. It's only the Igbos that do that. The man she's destroying is a man of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And now she wants to destroy a man of God, and there are false prophets all over the land. The other person you don't fight is somebody you ate communion with, somebody you are involved in covenant with. An example is marriage, the marriage covenant. no matter what leads to separation or what costs whatever, never fight your husband or your wife. That case is not a case for court or for public consumption. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even matter whether there is separation or not, because there are cases of people who do this while in marriage. Do you know what it means to say Jesus is the head, the church is the body? That's how it is in marriage. The husband is the head, the wife is the body. Think about the body that is fighting the head. Let's assume you succeed with removing eyes. See now, as a body, you can't. Let's assume you succeed in causing deafness. That's the damage you cause. Go ahead and hear now. You are a body. You can't. Let's assume you remove that head. What happens to you? It's only the Igbos. It's only the Igbos. They know God so much that God doesn't mean anything. But then, after they become familiar with God, guess where they go? They end up in the devil's breakfast table. It's only the Igbos. Your twin brother is the Benin people, Edo. If you are from that place, crush your pride. Take it to the cross and let Jesus empty you. If not, the travail will continue. The suffering will continue. See different ministries in Lagos affecting lives. God raises that man. And he's not so literate. When I watch his ministry, I see some things I wish would be better, but he's doing at a level he knows. He didn't go to school, but God is using him to reach the grassroots. That some of us with our big grammar don't reach. The Igbos. Have we ever met? No. We have never met. Never talk, not by internet or phone or by any method. What is my business? My father's house. You rise up against Pastor Deboe tomorrow, I'm going to rise up against you. You rise up against Bishop, you know, I'm going to rise up against you. Because these are the few seed that God kept here. Is it until everybody's in Dominion City before there are good ministries? No. Stop deceiving yourself. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. A man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. So we are not just made in the image of God, we are the image of God. Man is the image of God. Man is also the glory of God. The woman is also the glory of God, though. The woman is also the image of God. But the woman was shaped differently, physically and emotionally speaking, because God planned for her to be the glory of her husband. The woman is the glory of her husband. The woman is the glory of her husband. The woman is the image of her husband. The woman is the glory of her husband. The woman is the image of her husband. Just like no man should disgrace God, no woman should disgrace her husband. Never you do it. You damage yourself by doing that. The dominion mandate. An aspect of it has to do with the family. So when the devil now rose up against God, which is like fighting your source, God had an option to fight him. That would be like fighting your son. So God said, no. When there is a battle, if a son dishonors the father should not make the mistake of fighting him, delegate the battle, or use your mouth. The key to disciplining any child is in the mouth of the father. Whatever you say concerning him becomes his destiny. You can actually remove him from the earth with your mouth. They don't need to.
That's all.
The devil said, I will exalt my throne. I will exalt. And God opened his mouth and said, I will. And that is the one that will be established. It's the Father's words that come to pass in the Son's life, not the Son's words in the Father's life. You can speak to the devil and bind him because he's under your authority. You can't bind God. You can't bind Jesus. You can't bind the Holy Ghost. Neither can you bind your Father. You have to understand how authority flows. There are 9 structures of authority in the kingdom. The dominion mandate has 9 structures, 9 levels in the structure. Top, at the top of the food chain is the Almighty God. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I will have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. So even Jesus is not the highest. It's not the highest in the order. So Jesus is not the highest in the divine order, the divine structure. The highest in the divine structure is God. The head of Christ is God. So Christ is at number 2. Jesus said with his mouth, my Father is greater than I. That's why you... Amazingly, there is something about heaven today. There is a human being like you that is in heaven today, seated at the right hand of God. Yet he's also God, but he's a man, and he will never lose his humanity again. He had bodily resurrection. He will never lose his humanity again. He's a man. If ever a God wants to get married, that is the only part of God that can try it. Though he didn't. But he has all the right that a human being has. Is a complete human being that is in heaven today. And he is the one that is our Savior and our High Priest. Yet he's also complete God. But he submits to the Father. The head of Christ is God. Show them that scripture again. Verse 3. The head of Christ is God. The person, the control center, the person Jesus submits to is the Father. I'm sure you heard that he was obedient unto death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Now, look at the implication. Jesus did not raise Jesus from the dead. Who raised him from the dead? There's an authority in his life. There's an authority in his life. And what this scripture is telling us is that even in the Trinity, there is structure. Are they all God? Yes. Are they equal in their divinity? Yes, but they are not equal in authority. Now, for example, we are all equal as human beings, but we are not equal in authority. For example, President Jonathan is a Nigerian. He is not, as far as humanity is concerned, greater than any other Nigerian, but in authority. When you go to a court and sit in a courtroom, we are all Nigerians, including the judge, but in authority. If you misbehave in that court, that God, even though you might be a visiting person to come and listen, you can be carried into a jail. That judge can jail you for disrupting his court. That's why when the judge is coming out and they say, "Arise," everybody does what? Stands up. They have some words they use for them. You see, even the lawyers, when they address them, you see the words they use. Now, it comes into the ecclesiastical order, the same thing. All ministers are equal before God, but we're not equal in authority. All Christians are equal before God, but we're not equal in authority. You have to understand that. The members of the Trinity are all equal, but they are not equal in authority. Among the angels, all angels are equal, but they are not equal in authority. They are archangels, my dear. They are cherubims. They are high-class angels that the other ones obey. Their structure. In the demonic kingdom, all demons are the same, but they are not equal in authority. It's not just that the devil himself is greater than in authority than the others. They are ranks. Even in your school, if you attend school, all the lecturers are the same, but they're not equal in authority. One can sack another. When you understand it, it helps you to take advantage of the provisions God has made in life. Because in the spiritual arena, this issue, the ignorance of the divine order has harmed many people. Number three is man. Number four, angels. Okay, for example, have you ever read your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we will judge the angels? How many of you have read that? Or at least heard it? We are the ones that will judge the angels, including Michael and the rest of them. Why? Because man is higher, you know, you can't judge anything above you. I'm sure you know that already. Man is placed in a position of higher than angels, and that's why Lucifer got very angry. That's one of his anger. Actually, if I were to take you, I can show you in the Bible why Lucifer rebelled against God. It wasn't because, like some people think, that he was trying to compete with God. No, that was too far from him. You know, you can't find a manufacturer, a product competing with the manufacturer. The gap is too much. It was the position God gave man that he learned. And that was what caused his rebellion. He said, look at them. They are weaklings. We are made from fire, from stones of fire. You made them from the clay. How can you see how they travel? Trek, trek, trek. And now that we have a car, we travel at the speed of thought. Look at how weak they are. A block falls, he breaks the bone. One angel, if you know these archangels, one with one hand can push the whole Lagos underwater. One. See how ordinary light, small match, you just put a match, ignite a match, it burns them. We can walk even in the sun. Walk in fire. Now you want us to serve them? Hebrews 2 verse 14 said, are all the angels, why don't you show it to them? They are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You want us to serve them, but you need to understand why it's like that. Man is created to be God's child, his image. Angels are created to be his servants. So you can have a driver in your house, 40 years old, can even be a 50-year-old man. You have your little son, 5-year-old. Who drives the other? The driver. If there's one to sit at the back, it's that little boy. If there's no water in the house, guess who you will send to fetch water for that small boy? The bath. It's not that you don't love your servant, but in the order, there is nobody, nowhere you can place your servant, no matter how old they are, above your children. Say with me, as far as God is concerned, we are family. Angels are servants. Look at it. Are they not all, without exception, including Lucifer, ministering spirit? Commission to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Give another translation. I want simply English. Therefore, angels are only servant spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Their job is to take care of us. Security man, carry supernatural weapons and just be following me around. Now Lucifer could not take that, because among the angels, it was the highest ranking. And now, the big boy among the angels is to be serving. Remember, they were created before us. Some angels are 10,000 years old. How old are you? A guy that has been there before the creation of the earth. I can show you in Job chapter 48. The angels were there before the creation of planet earth. The Bible said the day God made the planet earth, his sons of God and the morning stars were singing for joy. So they were supplying praise while he was doing the act of creation. So obviously he created them before creating the planet. Now, many years after, he brings us here, and now they are to serve. Lucifer said, he went and called a meeting of angels. He said, this has gotten to, we can't take this thing. After serving him, he wants us to serve his children. And of course, one third followed him. It's like that kind of tape that is circulating. It's only foolish people that are not properly taught that will go and leave the ministry for a person, for container. Going to destroy the work of God. Container. If someone say you can't sell business in his church, carry your container and find another place. Not by force. Them is now trying to turn. He said his assistant pastor has not been healed and he claims to have healing. He said, where is his wife? Another thing, he's looking for people who have not received something as a reason why the anointing is not real. But Abraham, that was opening barren wombs everywhere and was barren. Jesus, that was saving people and his treasurer was a thief. God too, that is holy, and his security man is a rebel. Sin started in heaven. So if the sin in the means that God too is, then I'm sure you read about Apostle Paul healing people everywhere, and Epaphroditus that was working with him almost died of a stomach and had the thing, and he refused to be cured. That Paul had to write, please start taking alcohol. It will help to calm that thing. How come? He said, but don't take too much. Just take small alcohol. It's good for your tummy. Before this thing kills this man. And he wrote. He said he almost died. And it was because of the work of God. Then God too is fake now, because we see some of his children sick. Untrained people. And that's one of the mistakes pastors make. They take people that have not been properly discipled and move them fast. The Bible says whenever you do it, Satan will finally collect them one day. Because a little offense, all that thing turns into another thing. A little offense. So offended. Have you heard what? Somebody brought the tape to me. Is he here in Lagos? Is it true? Oh, you have heard of it? Okay, so, good. They brought it to me in Accra. Actually, the person that brought it to me so I can finish the man of God. And he was really talking. I said, play the tape. He played it. I said, even you're a minister. Get out of ministry. You need to go back to Bible school. Angels come after man. We judge the angels. So better tell your angel. He doesn't do his job well. He should get ready. Show it to them, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Where? Show it to them. Okay, after angels, you have demons. So, even fallen angels are now in a lower state of authority than the holy angels. Knowing not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life. This scripture was written to warn Christians about taking things that relate to their fellow brothers and sisters, to the unbelievers. Like going to the court of public opinion. That was some people call it, like the media or radio. I think it was some time ago in Lagos. That mistake was made here. When you offended against your brother, you don't go to the media. You go to him. That's what Matthew chapter 18. Then he will now has opportunity to either repent or, and then that one will be able to make up his mind. Matthew chapter 18, how you deal, resolve issues, conflict resolution principles in the kingdom. There are three levels. You have to talk to the person one-on-one. He's not listening. Take two people or three. And if he's a minister, you take ministers. And then finally, after that, he doesn't listen. Report it to the body of Christ. Not to the unbelievers. If he passes that stage, that's when you can now treat him like an unbeliever. And it's the same thing that applies to you. Why are you going to this man to talk to him when you should talk to the one that offended you? All of this fight is against Christ's image. So that the work God is trying to do to save a nation is be hindered. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him. What? Can you see that word alone? First stage, alone. No other person hears it. You guys reconcile, the case dies there. You say, no, I don't have courage. You don't have courage to go and talk to the person that offended you, but you go talking to others. You're breaking the covenant. It will tell on you later. You know, a few months after, I decided to go and visit the one that went on air first. Amazingly, the other one also went on air in order to give his own side of the story. Maybe, I think he also fired one or two bullets. Two wrongs don't make a right. But it was good that he gave his own side, but the bullet, the firing, was the part that was not good. Alone. Then, if he hears thee, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear, then take with you two or three more. You see, at the second stage, and these are believers. If they are ministers, ministers. If you will not hear them, at least you have established in the kingdom the principle, the precedent for judgment to come. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. If God does not find two or three evidence, he doesn't execute judgment. The reason he wants you to do this is that by the time two or three other people come in, you might even be the one that is wrong. And you are the one accusing another person. Don't just judge things for your own side and think that's all right. If you go to the person alone, you hear the person, you might find out that things are not actually the way you thought it was. Perception is different from reality. And many times, what is belief is perception. And that's where the media is strongest. Shaping public perception. And sometimes what the public believe is a lie. It's like what they write about celebrities. Sometimes they are true, but 70% of the time they are lies. Okay. So demons come after the angels, but immediately after the demons, you find man again. That tells you there are some men under demons and some men above demons. The second type of man here is fallen man. Fallen man. The first type of man is recreated man. Remember what Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 said, that angels are servant spirit. But he didn't say they go around serving every man. He said they only serve those who are heirs of what? Salvation. So men that have received salvation are the ones that are placed above the angels. Ordinary men are even under demons. That's why you can, a native doctor can call one demon and say, kill that man. He kills him. He can't kill a person who is not under his authority. That's why they can hold a judgment court. Instead of suing you at Supreme Court, you offended somebody and he's a witch, or he's not, but he knows a witch, he reports your case. They hold a court case in Coven and decide that madness is the issue. And you see the guy, he runs mad. You can't do it to us, the new creation. You can't. The only one that judges, to get the new creation judged, you have to move the judgment to God, to a higher place. Not in the demonic world or among angels. The highest angels can do is to bring report up. They can't judge us. They can't. Your driver can bring you a report that I saw your boy as I was taking him to school. Instead of going inside school, he went out with his friends. He can bring the report. Then after fallen man, you now meet animals. So you can see that fallen men are just one step above animals. Sometimes they behave alike too. You see rapist, armed robber. It collects the man's property and still shot him. Is that not the kind of beastly behavior you find in the jungle, like lions, like monkeys? After the animals, you find vegetations, plants. After the plants, you have the elements, the minerals. So, as important as you guys think gold is, diamond is, you can see that such things are lowest in quality. The things that have life, like even plants, come in God's order before such things. Cement, bitumen. How dare you kill a human being because of gold? How dare you kill a human being because of money? Material things are lowest. The elements. The elemental world, the mineral world. Now you see demons above some men. Why some men are above demons? Fallen man. So if you have somebody that is not born again, that's their state. Evil spirit can oppress them. They can mess up their life. Some time ago, I thought on this, and I was trying to explain that for those who are born again, you see some of them that evil spirit can also attack. Three major reasons for that. One is when somebody is a Christian, but he does not submit to authority. You lose authority the moment you stop submitting to authority. The only person that is ultimate authority is God. Every other person must be under authority, including Jesus.
Every other person must be under authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read from verse 20. Okay, let's go down a little. I want to read less. From verse 24. Here. Okay. Then comes the end when he shall. He's talking about Jesus. He was raised from the dead by the Father, exalted at the right hand of God. But finally, the end is coming when he's going to rule. Then shall come the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And this is both demonic and even human. All these people parading themselves as our government and all this whatever. Days are coming and is fast approaching. Every form of human government. And then, but the most important is the demonic government that is in oppression. He's going to put the throne, bring all of them down. Because the purpose is that he is going to return the kingdom, obedience of all creation back to the Father. Okay, verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Go on, verse 26. The last enemy, of course, he would destroy is death. And there is a reason why death is being kept last. Satan will be removed here. Death will still function for 1,000 years. During the millennium, while Christ reign, the devil will be in prison for 1,000 years, but death will be on earth. The only demon allowed to be here. As long as there are unbelievers, as long as there are rebels, death will be needed. As long as there is rebellion, death is necessary. So you can see why God will still keep that angel last. Death is an angel. He's not higher than Lucifer, but he's going to be kept here by God longer than other ones. Not because of death, but because of human beings that will rebel against God. The wages of sin is death. Once somebody rebels against God, that devil gains the right to take him out. He was on earth in the days of Adam, but he had no authority over Adam. So God warned Adam, don't eat this forbidden fruit. Don't disobey me. If you do, the authority, the power that is under your authority will rise up and subdue you. That's how people who have dominion fall from dominion. You know, General Deer, I'm glad he's out of prison. There are rumors here and there that he was not actually involved in a military coup, that Abacha just wanted to eliminate him. You know, I don't know the truth. But the day they arrested him, when he was being accused of that coup, small soldiers, small boys that he will command around, he's a general, just came. And usually they will salute you. If you're wise, you surrender your hand. If you're stupid, you make a move that you want to, they shoot you dead. Shoot you down immediately. Tafawa Balogun, IG. Ha! And it was Ribadu and his boys. You see those small boys, policemen. They went and collected general. That's somebody that fell from dominion. What causes people to fall? Corruption. What is it in the spiritual? Sin. To be in power, you have to respect authority. If you want to be powerful, stop sinning against power. If you want to be powerful, stop sinning against power. If you want to be powerful, stop sinning against power. Starting with God. Let me also say this. I have seen people who were men of God, who were Christians, who were used by God. Somewhere in their life, they allow certain things and the enemy comes in and messes up their life. And what is it? That if the devil does not find inside you, he does not find on you, he knows he can come here and interfere. It's called the Holy Spirit. Everyone say that word. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. What makes the recreated man different from the natural man is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the believer two times. Two major experiences of the Holy Spirit. The first time he comes to live within you. We call it the Spirit within. And when he comes to live within you, that's when he changes your human spirit, recreates you, removes the nature of Satan and puts God's nature in you. You become a new person. Never forget that. That first time you receive Christ, it is actually the Holy Spirit that came to indwell you. How many of you have received Christ? But who can tell me where Jesus is today? Where is Jesus? Eh? Okay, some people said here. But I heard some people here who said in heaven. Which one is correct? Here or in heaven? Eh? Jesus is not here. He is in heaven. He is at the right hand of God. Now, if that is true, and I receive Christ into my heart, the question now is, who is here? Who? That is how Jesus is able to indwell believer. He indwells believer through the Holy Spirit. Say with me, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, some people got it, but there are some people it caused confusion for. So maybe I should explain it this way. There are two dimensions to Jesus. One side is Jesus, the other is Christ. You know, his name is Jesus Christ. Everyone say that. But Christ is not his surname. Christ is not his surname. Mary's surname is not Christ. Joseph's surname is not Christ. They came from the family of Judah. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Christ means, so Jesus is the human. Christ is the spirit. That's why you never say, I receive Jesus. The person you receive is who? Christ. The reason is that the body is seated at the right hand of God, but what was inside that body is now inside you. I'm just trying to help you understand. Show them Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to him. It is that thing that marks you in the spiritual realm. It is actually that thing that lets the devil know who his property is and who is not his property. Say with me, I have the Holy Ghost living inside me. So I have a mark, a seal of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the kingdom of God. It's the mark. I see one here. Okay, PV. P-E-V-E-Y. But written in a particular way. That's their seal. If you find the seal of that company, is this something that will be inside? They put it on your product, you see that stamped on it. The seal of the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. Where it is, God claims ownership. Where it is absent, Satan can come and claim ownership. A day is coming when the kingdom of darkness will administer on earth physical marks. It's called 666. Those days are fast approaching. I think 2013, American government tried to do something close, but
Republicans and the Christian community fought it. This Obama's administration. Not exactly 666, but they wanted to test something that close. To start putting mark on people's hands and on their foreheads. If that one has passed, it will have paved the way, because the New World Order held a program in Washington in 2010. And they chose the year 2017 to start implementing the mark of the beast. So this is 2013, 4 years from the date they set. Whether that date will work or not, we don't know. But already the test run they did with U.S. has not worked. So be watching. Don't be foolish. You are living in the last days. But one of these days, we are going to get there. Some members of the body of Christ believe that the church will be gone before they can implement the mark. I believe that. Who have gone in the rapture. But there are also men of God, and there are genuine men of God who are teaching that the church will be here. Just because somebody did not get it in every area doesn't mean he's... Because we prophesy in part, we know in part. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, let's assume they are right. Because they believe that the Antichrist will appear and start the first 3.5 years. Before he goes full-blown, God will remove the church. I'm actually convinced that the man is alive. Whichever one it is, the most important thing is, are you ready? In those days, if anybody received that mark, it's irreversible. And if you notice what Obama wanted to do this year, there are two type of chips they wanted to introduce. One is the one they inject into your bloodstream. I was doing research why the whole discussion was going on. I went to the internet to find out what is actually going on, to know if it's dangerous or not. The first one, they inject it into your bloodstream. It's irreversible. You can't bring it out again. It travels with your blood, but it carries all your data. The other one, they put it under your skin. Through oppression, it can also be removed. But what God said in the Bible is that once somebody receives that mark, his chance of salvation is over. He is Satan's property forever. While you and I are living on earth, there are people like that. You know, one of our brothers who had experience of hell and heaven was telling the story how that in hell, there are human beings that are on earth, but they're in hell. You know, people you see, there are people that are dead. But they took him to a section where he saw people who are on earth, but they're in hell. And they're in hell in form of apparition, not in form of human, real person. Their spirits are wandering, they're dying, you know, but they are still living on earth. And he said, Lord, why? He said, these are people that have sold themselves to the devil. This is their destination. And he said, many of them will not be saved. He said, majority of them even know the truth, but they finally rejected it. They are in that state. There is a state the Bible calls apostasy. It can only happen to somebody that has been born again before and left the faith. Not backsliding. These people finally turn to become enemies of Christianity, enemies of the cross. That's why that woman doing that tape, I just pray for her that she doesn't cross that boundary. She is playing around that boundary. They end up becoming enemy. They destroy the same thing that they built. And there is no forgiveness for apostasy. And he says some of them on earth sold their soul to the devil because they are looking for power, they are looking for wanting, and they did that. And that's why they are here. Satan already knows that they are his property. He's only waiting for them to complete whatever they are doing. He just collects them here. The rest of human beings still have a chance of salvation. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Let me show you this scripture. Now he which established us
with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. The person that established you and anointed you is God. Verse 22. Who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. How does God seal his people? The Antichrist will put a mark of the beast. How does God mark his own people? Do you know that when the trumpet sounds and that sound is blown, the Holy Ghost will turn everybody that has that mark into immortality. You will be transfigured just like Jesus Christ. And then you are going to leave from this earth and start ascending. And we are going to meet him in the air and head back with him. How will the Holy Spirit know who to take and who not to take? He's going to take every man that has the mark of redemption. That's why the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit has many names. There are two experiences the believer has with the Holy Spirit. One is called the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The second is the spirit upon. The other is the spirit within. That one you call the spirit within is what is called new birth. Is what is called salvation. Is what is called being born again. Now, I want to explain this to you so that you get it. We have different terminologies. There are different things people call it. The one about the spirit upon is called the anointing. It's called baptism of the Holy Ghost. That one that comes upon is for service, for ministry. That is the one that enables us to heal the sick, enables us to minister to people. The one within is for your own salvation. It's to help you not only get saved, but live the Christian life. The reason you should have morning devotion, have daily devotion, study the word of God, have a prayer life, is to keep that water inside flowing. As long as it flows, you will have the power to live the Christian life. The Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. Can I say it again? Let me say it here. Maybe they will hear it. The Christian life, what that Bible expects believers to do, is not just hard. It is impossible. It is something you cannot do without the power of the Holy Spirit. In this world that you and I live in, temptations everywhere, options everywhere. How can a person live for God? How can a person live holy? How can a person live godly? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that indwells you. That's why you need to have that garden inside watered. If you do, you're going to be bearing the fruit of godly character, love, joy, peace. But if you get the anointing upon, you bear the fruit of supernatural gifts, prophecy, healing, working on miracle. The spirit upon produces 9 gifts. The spirit within produces 9 fruits. It is through those fruits that you know a Christian. Starting with the number one, love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. That's patience. Gentleness. Meekness. Meekness. Self-control. If you lack, if you let that water inside dry up, you find out that your ability to control yourself diminishes greatly. If you stop watering your inward man, you neglect your personal devotion, you neglect your prayer life, you neglect studying the word, after a while, you notice that the old things you left behind are beginning to show up small, small again. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or not, though. That spirit within is what produces the fruit of godly character. Then the anointing upon is what produces power for ministry, for service. This power manifests in form of prophecy, in form of word of knowledge, in form of word of wisdom, in form of, you know, interpretation of tongues, in form of gifts of healing, in form of working of miracles, in form of special gift of faith, in form of discerning of spirit. Power to do the impossible. To do superhuman works. Because Christianity is not in talk. Christianity is backed by the power of God. The person who has anointed you and I is God, who has also sealed us with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1 verse 3, and I'll leave that subject. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly place. How does these blessings know where to go? They go where they find the mark of the anointing. How does breakthrough know where to go? They go where they find the mark of the anointing. How does oppression, demonic activity, know where to go? They go where they don't find that mark. The Bible said your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom he may destroy. How does he know who is available for destruction? Where he doesn't find the mark. The mark is the anointing. The mark is the seal of the Holy Ghost. If Satan does not find it, that property is available for him for destruction. Wherever he finds it, the mark is also a touch not symbol. The last days are not the time when somebody can function without the anointing. How many of you have read Deuteronomy chapter 28 where it said, the blessing shall pursue you and overtake you? How many of you have read it? How does the blessing, financial breakthrough, know who to pursue? People are everywhere. In Nigeria, 170 million people. How does he know who to pursue? Wherever he finds the mark, that's where the breakthrough goes. We're going to mark you this morning for supernatural breakthroughs. The Bible says, I shall be anointed with what? Fresh oil. Fresh oil brings fresh breakthroughs. It brings fresh favor. It brings fresh manifestations. I'm getting you ready, not only for the end of the year, but for 2014. A year of all types of exploits. Not just financial, but in ministry, in every area. I don't know how your year 2013 was, but this year, I've accomplished what I normally do in 3 years in 1 year. Why? A close walk with the Holy Ghost. The year of abiding glory. The year of abiding glory. Next year, 2014, is the year of the ark. It is capturing the presence of God. I'm carrying it on your shoulder. You have to make the Ark of Covenant the center of your life. You carry it. That is the year of carrying the presence. If there is one person of the Trinity that needs to be reintroduced to the church, is the Holy Spirit. Many of us have gotten used to him. Some of us don't even know who he is. But wherever his mark is found, that place there is open heaven. Abundance will be reigning in that place. Wherever that mark is found, that place, Satan, stay away from it. Touch not. Evil stays away from it. Wherever that mark is found, that place, blessings will be pursuing till it overtakes. You want the blessings of God to pursue you? Instead of you pursuing it, till it overtakes you, overwhelm you, that you don't have room enough, carry the anointing. Carry the anointing. Some people have wandered this mountain long enough. They say, you are looking for a husband. Carry the anointing for 1 year. You will see how many men will propose in that year. Just 1 year. When Pastor Yix, she used to be a bad girl, tapped into the anointing. it fell on her. The mark rested on her. I watched. You know, PCG, I don't know if you can remember. Both bad boys, good boys, pastors from churches everywhere, they are trying to marry a person that is my secretary. She has not started preaching. She was working with me in Enugu Church. Enugu Church was just started. And she was the one sitting at that door. Everybody wants to marry her. Including bad boys. They were coming to church. Getting, pastor, okay, lay hands on me. Fall and rise. Next thing is the girl that he is after.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.